Blog Talk Radio.
Great joy and good afternoon, my friend. The Nepalese Meditation Bowl is chiming, centering your mind and delight on The Art of the CEO, the show that brings you the most fascinating people and the wisest advisors in the business community from around our terrestrial orb. I am Bart Jackson, the Hieronymus Bosch of business. Look it up. And today, you are about to learn how to get the most energy and the most expertise and everything out of those individuals working for you and working with you to make your dream come true. Yes, in this second part of our New Hire series, your precious gray matter is going to make and some decisions and take away some aha attitudes and strategies to transform that top talented individual you've just hired into a dedicated teammate. Now, I know this series is aimed at solopreneurs and entrepreneurs just sort of just getting into the hiring and management game. But if you're an inveteran employer, be wise and stick with us. Just because you've handled folks up very well up to now does not mean you cannot lead and motivate them a lot better, as you well know, I am sure. So, whether you are the founder of a mail-order florist business like Melissa, dedicated to employing challenged folks outside the mainstream, or you're a successful church pastor like Dave, able to attract the highest level staff for each position, pull up your chair a little closer, join our feast of wisdom, all carefully cuisined to make your career thrive and your ventures flourish. So let's plunge right in and get to your enterprise dreams flourishing and get them moving by giving utmost care to your prime asset, that is the grooming of your business growth engines, those talented people working at your side. And to help you sort of set the worker treatment stage, I'd like to pass on to you this brief real-life episode told me by my new business compadre, Art. And it's a true scenario that he created back in his former career days as a cop patrolling a beat. Now, as Art was talking to me and telling me this story the other day over coffee, I realized that this is the perfect leadership parable for you folks trying to engage others to work with them and with you. And it begins. Art steps out of his patrol car onto the side of the road and witnesses a highly frustrated soccer mom, big van and all, you know the deal, who has been derailed from her absolutely frenetic schedule by a flat tire. Now, so what does Art do? Well, Art comes up and he turns to the mother, and then he turns to the 12-year-old son. After hearing her story, he turns to the 12-year-old son and says, you want to help your mom get back on track and get moving, don't you? And he says, well, sure, I do. And he says, well, just go to the glove compartment, get the manual out there, pull it open, and start reading it to me, and we'll see what we can do here. I'll say, okay, now lay out, what does it say I need? Okay, good. Then you read the tools. Let's see. Let's check. We got the jack here. Yeah. There's a lug wrench. Okay, got it. Everything is it ready? Okay, now, they go through the process, they begin the repair, and he says, all right, now, you've read this, is it ready for you to jack up the car now? And he says, yes, I think so, and on it goes, and he says, okay, now, after you tighten the lug nuts, you want to, we'll go over them and make sure they're tidying it. Think that's a good idea? Yes, I do. And so the kid is doing all this work, and they're handing things back and forth to each other. And all of us, with a little effort, guess what? The mom's schedule turns back to a fix. She's got the fixed tire, and her schedule turns back to just the mild motherly frenzy that a poor mom has to face nowadays. And a week later, after she's back on the road and things have gone well, Art comes home, opens his mailbox, and finds that he has received a letter from the mom. and she has thanked him, not for fixing the tire. She has thanked him for what he has given her son, that sense of contribution, that sense that he made a difference and moved things forward. So let's pause for a minute. What did Art do that was so right? Let's sort of break this down a bit. Initially, from right at the outset, he gave the boy a very pointed individual motivation. You want to get your mom back on the road, right? This is something individual. It's dealing with him and the boy. It's not, you know, for the greater good and glory of the roadways, keeping them clear. No. It was individual. Secondly, he engaged the boy as a team member. He shared the work with him. They read back and forth. The boy was reading and thus directing him, and he made it clear that each one of them was dependent on the others. There's really no rank when your sleeves are rolled up. As a matter of fact, right there, that is a quill pen moment. I want you to dip your pens in the inkwell, because that is a timeless business truth, and scroll this down and keep it in your memory book. There is no rank when your sleeves are rolled up and you're working. Now, another thing that Art did was he made the mission and the directions very clear, and he made the boy's valuable, necessary part in it very clear. It was right there in the book. This needed to be done. We got to do this to get that. It's toward the goal. There was no question. We knew it was, he saw it was necessary. And finally, he credited the boy with the job, and he thanked him. Oh, did I mention that he credited the boy and thanked him? That seems to slip past so many of us. Anyway, the moral, I'm getting punchy here. The moral is that most individuals who are working don't get that kind of support and that kind of understanding and clarity or credit from the people they work with. And so allow me to ask, how are you doing, Mr. Employer? Are you giving all these things to your people? So there you have it. And as just a sort of a little sideline, there is a reason that I am not giving you Art's last name, and that is because, believe it or not, it's untenable. The policemen are not allowed to change tires because of the dangerous protocol issues and the trouble they could get into. So Art has to do this on the sly. But that is a whole other show we will discuss some other day, some other time. But for right now, that is to me a magnificent model of motivational leadership. And all right, with that brief and tempting nosh at today's Feast of Wisdom, now it's time, allow me to fulfill my duties as proper host and lay before you a few utensils for the furthering of today's feast. So, as the first utensil, as I always do, allow me to remind each of you hearing my voice that the good Lord has gifted you with the title and privileges of Chief Executive Officer of yourself. And since that's the most important position you'll ever hold in your career, allow me to ask you, will this be the day that you assess your effectiveness with an outside audit? Get some trusted, honest, and insightful friend to lay out your performance as he sees you? 'Twould some gifty God would gee us to see ourselves as others see us? Or will you just continue to assume that you are absolutely marvelous and go your way unchanged? The choice, my friend, is truly yours, and I think you know the way you want to make that one move. And second utensil, you need to steep your lips into a little laughter, so let's taste a scriptural recitation from the 102 Best Business Quips book, which I am lifting here. Need me? Okay, here we go. This is number 67. I like this. If you really, really get serious about everything you do, well, you probably won't enjoy yourself any better than anyone else does. And as an afterthought on that quip, actually, being serious is a destructively exclusive attitude. It allows you to be utterly self-absorbed while using some sort of work project as a front. instead of narrowing your focus to some wincingly grim rut, why not seek solutions throughout the whole wide world around you? And while you're at it, heck, laugh a little, for goodness sakes. And if you smirked a bit over that quip, if you laughed at it, we have them literally by the books full. Just visit bartsbooks.com, that's BARTSBOOKS.com, and pick up your copy of either 101 Best Business Quips or 102 Best Business Quips. And you are going to have a whole new quiverful of ammunition to make you the agilely witted charmer who lightens the load of all the chain gang at work. And as a third utensil, I think perhaps we should appropriately entitle this the productivity prod, we proffer you the answer to last week's business quotation. That is, the name of the author, who is the name of the author that noted, the name of the author that noted, all my life I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be somebody. Now I see that I should have been more specific. That was spoken by none other than Miss Jane Wagner, the Emmy Award-winning screenwriter, producer, and director, who was the one who wrote all the jokes for comedian Lily Tomlin. And later on in the show, Blurting Your Way, is coming another enticing quotation. And if you are among the learned souls who knows the author of that quote, simply jot that sage's name down as you believe him or her to be, and email it right off to info@books.com, that's I-N-F-O, at BARTSBOOKS.com. And if you are correct, your knowledge will earn you a marvelous gift freshly disemboweled from the dungeons of Bart's Books bookstore. So, with utensils at hand, come on and let's gather some takeaway practical success tools for firing up that newly hired talent that you've just got coming to work for you. And I think first and foremost, one of the things is that you yourself have to get legally and logistically set. Whether it's contract or salary, it makes no difference. You've got to find out what is legally demanded of you as an employer, for that's what you are, as I say, contract or salary. So check with, I mentioned this in the last time when we talked about interviewing. Now but think about the paperwork that's necessary. Check with SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, that's an association of retired business people that help new folks just getting started. They meet in libraries. Just write SCORE and your local area, and you will find where they meet and when. Also, your state, see if your state has a local employers association. They virtually all do somewhere. And in New Jersey, we have the EANJ, the Employers Association of New Jersey, run by the very patient, very willing to talk to you, Mr. John Sarno. And you can find out what you need from that association and its leaders. Also, the Small Business Association has seminars on exactly this. And one other thing you could do, I like this because I've done this, is visit some HR, some human resource outsourcing service, and list, talk to them as if you were a client. List down everything, all the services they provide. Then you take that list home, and you get to work. There may be time as your business expands to hire a service like this, but for right now, here's the work. Divvy it up, see what you got to do, and take off with it. And once you're taking off, while you're taking off and scribbling, there's another thing you've got to do. This is more along the line of an attitude adjustment. You've got to look at yourself, and by that I mean particularly your current operating system, and see where and how this new additional employee, this person, is going to fit into your business day. I don't mean what he's going to do, but where and how and who. You've got a boyfriend moving into your bedroom. You've got to clear out a drawer, or you're going to give him a whole bureau. What are you going to do? How are you going to arrange yourself and your workspaces? And don't just think about this. Write it down. Write a schedule down. Write spacing out. And make the changes you need, but write it down. And as a hint to all of this, always, always, always pamper your new hire's work environment. and adjust it to her individuality as you perceive it. But pamper, pamper, pamper is what's going to get you the little extra touches that show that you are concerned with them, or what is going to push that person in response to your activity. And if you have just joined us, you are listening to The Art of the CEO, the show which every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time streams magically through the mightily misunderstood realms of cyberspace, where you may listen and download this, and in fact all our episodes, by visiting blogtalkradio.com/theartoftheceo. That's blogtalkradio.com/theartoftheceo. Okay. Moving on to some more helpful ideas. One of the things is when you're going to want a new hire meeting, when the first person first comes, don't set him right off to work and then come lunchtime say, well, let me go out and tell you what you're going to do. This is part of work. His learning the work is part of it. You want to set up a learning environment. The first thing you do, he sits down, she sits down with you, and you are going to go over the job description, which is something you will have written down, of course. But this is not the one that you did at the when you were interviewing the person, because now you're dealing with a real person and you're changing things. And you're going to write out this job description, and you're going to do it this way. I'm insisting on it. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to begin with a mission. That is, you want to, you're going to insert your dream here. For example, you, new hire, are here to make this publishing firm into a major force in the workplace guidance industry and to make our books talked about and justifiably praised as one of the tops in the field, or whatever your dream for your enterprise is. You've got to leave room for their ambition and make sure that they understand that they are part of this dream. And the other thing that you want to make understand in that, in your job description, is that you not only will take ideas, you're not only receptive to them, you expect ideas, you demand innovation, and then you're going to provide a very clear pathway for this new hire to express those. You're going to show them how it's run up the flagpole, in a sense. You're going to show them how ideas get spread around to whom, so nothing gets dropped in the cracks. And, you know, you should do this even if you're a solopreneur. You have to work out an idea system. Ideas come and go. They can drop away. You don't want this person to feel frustrated and not listened to, and you don't want those ideas lost. So work that out. And write it out. And another thing you're going to want to add, and then of course you come down to, I guess, the other thing, is what I call basic responsibilities. It's a term I like to use for reaching our goals. This is if you're hiring someone who's primarily a technical person, then they may maintain your website, they may handle your social media avenues, they may make sure that certain hardware along the line is working. And whatever it is, those are the basics. This used to be the entire job description, just these base responsibilities. But you're going to include that as just part of it. You're going to put in what we said up top. And then you're going to add a final thing, the necessary human skills. And by that I mean you are here to develop a consensus, show compassion, I don't know. But two things you do want to add in these human skills is, number one, to act as a spokesperson. Every person who works for you, is connected with you, is not just a potential spokesperson. They are a spokesperson for your company. They will be speaking that, and you want them to see that as a responsibility. And the other thing you want them to do is to say that you are here to bring in clients. And I do not care if you are being hired as a line worker who handles a wrench on the Ford Motor Company line. you are expected to bring in clients because clients is business. You are part of this business. That's what we do. That's part of the dedication that you expect. And it's part of the privilege, and it's the fun. It gives you, this is one of the fun responsibilities of it. And so bring that up to the person. And I know I sounded very dictatorial on this, but most people's job descriptions and most of the ones that have ever been handed me in my career are just appalling. And so that's why if I'm a little fussy about it, please forgive me. And so before I carry on too much, too deep, hopefully your human talent motivating brain lobe is churning all the idea neurons, and your little gray cells are probably shifting to overload. So, my friend, let's take a pause and taste a brief sorbet from this wise feast to allow me to introduce to you the company by whose good graces we are here today. And that company is Prometheus Publishing, creator of, among other divisions, Bart's Books Ultimate Business Guides. And this very day, Prometheus would invite you to look at one of its books, Leadership Lessons from the Cherokee Nation. And this is a highly perspective-twisting manual by Chad Korntessel Smith. You know, when Chad Smith took over as principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, it was just a strife-torn, chaotic entity. But by the end of his tenure, in only 12 short years, the nation had grown its assets from $150 million to $1.2 billion. They'd increased business profits 2,000%, created 6,000 jobs, or 600 jobs, I think. Yes, 600, I'm sorry. And they had enhanced the language, the culture, the education. And what I love about this is that Chad employed this profoundly simple point A to point B model. And you should look at this book. You should study this book and find the best way to move your own company forward. So just take your delicately deft fingers and type out bartsbooks.com. That's BARTSBOOKS.com. Visit the bookstore and pick up your copy. And while you're clicking your little fingers around that homepage, don't forget to click on the little blue mailbox and pick up for absolutely free, subscribe to a new business quip, which comes your way through the enigma of email every week and gives you the laughter you so richly deserve. And speaking of imaginal motivational enigmas, it's time to delve back into our multi-tentacled realm of entrepreneurial boss and the new hires and see how the best top your top talent's potential can be most lovingly and profitably loosed. So another thing that I see is frequently neglected is the setting up of a review schedule. Mark Griffith of Laureate BioPharma was excellent at this. He would come in and every single individual head would come in and say, this is time for review. But it wasn't us reviewing you. He made them the presenter. And they would come in and report to you. This is a creative. This is an aspect. You tell me what's going on. You fill me in. The information comes to me, the CEO, the head man, and you are the possessor of this, and I need to hear it. Think how that makes that individual feel. And by the way, if you have others on your team, and particularly if you've been wise enough, as I suggested in the last part of this series, if you've elected a board of advisors, give him dates to make presentations to them. And a couple of things that you might want to do during this meeting is, number one, you could even assign him a professional organization to visit and come back to you. If he's a tech person, have him go to the State Technology Council and report back to you, or perhaps your own industry organization, whatever. And then we come to the meat of this schedule. After you hear what he has done, and after he's reported to you what he's done, trying to do, and so forth, you're then going to turn and say, all right, what slowed you down? And then you're going to follow up with two separate questions. What do you need to do to be more productive? And what does the team and company need to do to make your efforts more smooth and profitable and go better? These are separate questions, and they shouldn't be asked one right after another, the way I just did to you. You ask them and let them see, let this new hire see that she is, her time is precious, her work is precious, it's cared for, and together you can work out a solution. And so as you're doing this, I shouldn't even have to say this. I shouldn't even have to say this. But make your mission and your instant goals, that is the project goals, very clear and constant. Keep them always before this. You can do this not just at the review, but all through the workplace. And this is something that is so obvious that it gets overlooked. You know, it's like the trout in the milk. People just pass it right by. And I can be all fired up to go, but I better know that exactly my goal is to scrabble up over that wall and come down on the inside. And here's how I'm supposed to do it. I need that in front of me. The more step-by-step you make the directions, the easier it is to do this. The Army is beautiful at this. Everything is broken down step-by-step, and it's amazing how many people they can get to do exquisitely difficult tasks. So I pass that on to you. As I say, I shouldn't even have to mention it, but there you have it. Now, finally, there is one thing. Probably shouldn't have to say this either, but when you first get your new hire, it's credit with enthusiasm. And this is particularly helpful. When I was first working for Ziff Davis, a marvelous publishing company, I was given an assignment to create a directory. I won't bore you with the particulars, but I had just come out and contacted everybody. Bill Ziff came down and grabbed me and said, "This is a wonderful job. You've done a great job. We really like the way you've done that and handled it." He pumped my hand, and I'm sort of standing here flabbergasted and not really knowing, I didn't think it was all that good. But he did this, and he made me feel, oh, okay, what I had done, it sets a habit of credit, and it also sets up an expectation that work is rewarded. And that was right in from the very first item I did. And so it's very important that it's personal and sincere. The first time that first gush of credit comes sincere. And if you have some reprimands or things that you would like to give, wait a little bit. Come back when he starts working the next time and say, you know, you could fix this away. Don't mix the message. And finally, there's a million things about, I talked about presupposing your structured goals, like when do you think you're going to be ready to chat with clients? When do you plan on bringing new clients in? You know, that sort of presupposition that I talked to at the very beginning about. Assume that work will be done. That's one thing. But the other thing is that you have to find a way to work around this individual's strengths and his weaknesses. We do not have one-size-fits-all protocols because you're working with people and you want to get the best out of them. So you don't force them to do things that they're poor at. I had one PR person who just could not write down anything. And she was brilliant with ideas. She would do lots of work, but she was the form filling out, she just didn't do it. So we worked up a phone system of a phone call. Tell me what you do, and I jot the ideas down. I mean, do whatever. That's a simple example, but do that. And above all, remember that you are dealing with an individual. And I said that was the last, but there's one I just can't resist, and that is make sure that you brainstorm your personal managerial dilemmas with this person from time to time. It sort of takes them up to the next level. All right, we are running out of time, and I have gone way past and given you much too much to think about, but I hope some of this will make you realize that the individuals you work with are important, and they are your greatest asset, and it's quid pro quo. The better you treat them, the more talent and the more energy and good old-fashioned loyalty and devotion you're going to get back at. I guarantee it. So as we round out today's feast, allow me to remind you that I am Bart Jackson, your curator of business wisdom, leaving you with today's business quotation, and that is, who is the person who said, litigation is a machine in which you go in as a pig and come out as a sausage. This quote author, as a hint, this quote author is one we have employed before, and he is the individual who so prolifically penned the Devil's Dictionary and all it. And remember, if you know the name of that author, just send that right on. Just write the author's name down as you believe him or her to be, and send it right off to info@bartsbooks.com. That's info@bartsbooks.com. And you will win, if you know the answer, an absolutely power-thrusting, career-changing gift from the dungeons of Bart's Books bookstore. And as a parting shot, in the words of my wife's husband, 'tis humankind's most unique fate and greatest survival tool that good old fate ever pricks you to do ever better than you've done before. And it is a very generous second gift of the good Lord to add the gift of spouses and co-workers to keep you ever mindful of where the flaws lie that might be improved. So, to you who are gleefully sharing our feast, I hope you've enjoyed the Art of the CEO show as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. And remember that you may download this and all our shows at blogtalkradio.com/theartoftheceo. And if you would like to learn more about this, find past episodes, and find everything about our guests and all the wisdom that has come forth, just visit theartoftheceo.com. That's theartoftheceo.com. And you can connect with all the people who make this show absolutely ridiculous and helpful. And do tune in to The Art of the CEO next week, as you're going to get a peep into the tricks of leadership from those business masters. So you're going to get some applicable aha ideas that you wish you'd thought of. And these are what the masters use. And finally, to you who have honored us with your time, may I say, as always, privilege, I thank you.